Grand slam for Masters!
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today enjoyed a career in the National Football League. Elvis Gerback played quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, the Kansas City Chiefs, and ended his career in Baltimore with the Ravens. I'll talk with Elvis about his time spent in the NFL and why he now embraces the faith of his childhood. Elvis, it's great to have you on Blessed to Play.
Thank you, Ron. I really appreciate you having me on.
Well, I got to talk about your time spent at St. Joseph's High School in Cleveland. Some great talent came out of that high school. Of course, you know about Desmond Howard, Clark Kellogg, Mike Golick, London Fletcher. You excelled, obviously, at quarterback at St. Joe's, and Desmond Howard became a Heisman winner at wide receiver at Michigan, where you would go. But how did you pick Michigan, being an Ohio kid? It's like you defected. So tell us the story why you didn't go to Ohio State and went to go Big Blue.
Well, I tell you what, you're right. I was grew up Ohio State, remember watching the Earl Bruce shows Sunday morning before I would go to church, and was able to just sit there and watch those guys like Jim Carsados and Keith Byers and all those guys play. And when my senior year came around, I had an opportunity to get recruited by Ohio State. And that was the year that Earl Bruce got fired and John Cooper took over. And Desmond and myself actually was recruited by Ohio State. And when that turnover really happened, never heard from Ohio State again. And that's when Michigan really kind of came into the whole focal point. It was between Michigan State and Michigan for me. And I had an opportunity to go to Michigan and play for Bo Schembechler. That was something I just couldn't pass up. But boy, I did. I grew up an Ohio State fan. And, you know, I live in Ohio now. I live in Sugar Falls, Ohio, and I have an opportunity to be around Ohio State football all the time. And I tell you what, they've got a great, great program, and it's just good for the Big Ten. Now you've got Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, and you've got Urban Meyer down in Ohio State, and that's how it should be. That's how it should be here in the northeastern Ohio area, is that the kids that do play great football have an opportunity to go to really two great universities.
Well, what a career at Michigan, and obviously you had a chemistry with Desmond Howard and hooked up with him on many occasions. You led the Wolverines to a Gator Bowl in 1991, but since this is a Catholic show, we want to talk about this win over Notre Dame. Heisman winning season in 91, you passed to Howard, sealed a 24-14 victory over Notre Dame. And in that game, you completed 20 of 22 passes, a record for a Notre Dame opponent. Talk about that game.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably one of the best games I think we've ever played. You know, my record, if you really look at my overall record against Notre Dame, it's not very good. And that game was at home. We were hyped to be in the top five. And I know Notre Dame was up there. Rick Meyer was the quarterback. Really two great teams going at it, and had an opportunity at the end of the game. I called a timeout. We were at somewhere around the 20-yard line or so, and had an opportunity to go for it. And it was Gary Moeller was the head coach at the time, and gave us an option at the line of scrimmage to either run the ball or pass it to Dez. And I just had an opportunity that Dez was one-on-one on the outside, and I gave him an opportunity. And Dez, you know, he made a great, great catch. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at the highlights of that and some of the pictures of that, the way he extends out and makes that catch, I will never forget that. And just to be a part of that, I mean, I will tell you this, that is the loudest I've ever heard Michigan Stadium for 110,000 people or whatever the record it was that day. That was I was there for 4 years, 5 years, I was redshirted my freshman year and played unbelievable, you know, games throughout my entire career there. That was the loudest I've ever heard it. So, you know, and my career really started against Notre Dame when I was a freshman. It was my sophomore year. Bo was still the coach, And our starting quarterback went down, and we were playing. It was number one versus number two. I believe they were number one. We were number two, something like that, at our place. And we had kicked off to Rocket Place, and he took it back. And our starting quarterback went down, and I got into that game, and it was kind of like a seesaw battle back and forth. But for some reason, I don't know, Bo kept on kicking it to Rocket, and he took back two on us. So, but that was memories against Notre Dame. I love playing at the Big House, but probably one of the top five places that I love to play is at Notre Dame. I mean, it's just a great, great history, great tradition. Just to be a part of that history, I'm really proud of that.
Yeah, what a career at Michigan you did have. 71 touchdowns, threw for 6,400 yards. Blessed to play Ron Meyer. Talking today with Elvis Gerback, a former NFL quarterback, played in the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that. But I want to move ahead to the draft. It was 1993, and you went in the eighth round, Elvis, 219th overall. With all these numbers and Rose Bowls and the whole nine yards, were you disappointed where you went in the draft?
Oh, well, you got to remember, that was the first year that they went to salary cap. Mm-hmm. So, 1993, the NFL changed their entire kind of structure and format and how they were going to draft and how they were going to use their draft just because of the cap. They had to deal with their cap and how they were going to allocate certain money to the players that they had already on the club. And remember, why I went to San Francisco, when I got to the team, and I was just thinking about this the other day, they had probably over a dozen guys that had been on the 49er organization for over 12 years. Mm. That's unheard of now. I really got to a place where there was such a great tradition passed on to the guys, and then they passed it on to myself, and then we passed it on to the other guys. When I got drafted, I was very, very, I was just glad to be drafted, just because I really didn't know the uncertainty of how the clubs were going to handle all that. And really, I got into a position where when I got there, Steve Young obviously was a starter, and then Steve Bono was the backup. Mm-hmm. And Bill Musgrave was there also, and then myself. And so I was fighting for a job just to be on the roster. And we kept all four quarterbacks during the entire year. And, Steve, he played for many, many years. And, with his salary, how it was allocated through the club. And then you also have Steve Bono, mm-hmm. who had, a big contract also. So, as the years kind of went on when I was in San Francisco, things started to change. And they had to evolve a little bit just because of the cap. But, from the beginning for myself, it was more of an opportunity that I got. And I really had to take advantage of it just to make the club.
Yeah, it was quite an opportunity for you, an apprenticeship of sorts under Steve Young, and you got to play in Super Bowl 29, where your team, the 49ers, blew out the Chargers, but you took a few snaps. But this led into really the meat of your NFL career when you now went to Kansas City and had a chance to be the starting quarterback. Talk about your time in Kansas City and how that made you an elite NFL quarterback.
Yeah, I tell you, Ron, I've been every place that I've played from, really, I'll tell you, from grade school, I'm going to just start from there. Robert Smith, the running back from Ohio State, was my tailback in grade school. And I had Desmond Howard as a tailback at St. Joe's. Then I got to Michigan. I was surrounded by great, great players. San Francisco, obviously Jerry comes to mind. When I got to Kansas City, you got to remember Marcus Allen was still the tailback. And I was able to hand the ball off to Marcus Allen and kind of just watch him work. Kansas City was a great, great place. If you've ever been to one of the greatest stadiums of all the NFL, the fan base is unbelievable. We had great teams when we were there. Marty Schottenheimer was a coach. And I had an opportunity to really kind of develop as a quarterback. Being in San Francisco under Steve Young's kind of tutelage and everything was a great opportunity to me to kind of learn how to be a professional for a good, solid 4 years. And then had an opportunity to go to Kansas City and play. We had great teams. Unfortunately, I got kind of hurt as some of the seasons went on, and Rich Gannon came in and played, and he played extremely well. But the amount of times that we made it to the playoffs and had an opportunity to make a really good run in the playoffs, that organization was one of the most solid organizations I've ever been around. And the fan base put that together. It's one of the greatest teams, I think, that as a player that you can be a part of. You know, San Francisco was its own kind of like hierarchy. And then you had Kansas City that was solid every year. And the only way I can kind of relate it to it now is that you look at the Steelers year in and year out, you know, they're going to be good and they're going to be in the playoffs. That's what Kansas City was some years ago. And then they still are. And it's a tribute to their organization and the players that they have there.
Yeah, and Arrowhead's really a tough place for a visiting team to come into, one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. All right, so let's take a break. I'm talking with Elvis Gerback, a former NFL quarterback. We're going to talk about what inspires him in his everyday life. Don't move. You're listening to Bless to Play.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Bless to Play. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Bless to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Elvis Gerback. What an NFL career he did have. 99 touchdowns during his NFL career, passed for over 16,000 yards. Of course, he played at Michigan with his high school teammate who followed him to the Wolverines, Desmond Howard, who won the Heisman Trophy. Played in a number of Rose Bowls, so what a storied football career, but we're going to talk about something with Elvis that's even more important to him than football, and that is his faith life. Elvis, was the faith always important to you?
Yes, yes, absolutely. You have to remember, Ron, my parents came to this country in 1968. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% Croatian, and I've got my older brother and my older sister were born over there, and I was born here in 1970, and they brought the Catholic faith with them. It's been a part of it. The only way I can kind of equate it to is kind of it's just part of my DNA. It's always been like that. It will continue to be like that. And just to me, it gets stronger every day. But you know, my parents had a big, big influence on that. And there's three things that I always try to kind of make a point of when I talk about my parents. And they talk about the ABCs of life. And you got to remember, when my parents came here, they had nothing. Mm-hmm. No language of the English language and no money to their name and children already. But they talk about faith being number one, your family number two, and then education number three. And that kind of equated to also what do you do for a living? You know, what is your work or what is your job? But faith has to be number one. And I always kind of think of put myself in my dad's shoes, having a family, not speaking English, and no money to your name, and you're moving to the United States and starting a life, you have to have faith. And my father's faith is extremely strong. And we kind of talked earlier a little bit, just the two of us, you know, you've got to be able to take chances sometimes. You got to have to think outside the box a little bit. And that's part of all what faith is being able to step out of yourself a little bit and continue to grow in your faith life. And, you know, my parents were very, very big part of that.
Yeah, and I have great respect for the immigrants. They came over to the country, like you mentioned. They didn't have anything, and they built these beautiful churches, and they grew up in, I'm sure there's Croatian neighborhoods, as there was Italian neighborhoods and Irish neighborhoods. And faith was at the core of their communities, and they transferred that to their children through a lot of suffering, too, and a lot of struggle. But I want to talk about your time spent at St. Joseph's High School. I was reading off, you know, Desmond Howard, Clark Kellogg, Mike Golic, and I look at these guys, and they seem to be guys of character as well. But talk about your formation at St. Joe's, how that molded you today.
That continues on forever. We say something about St. Joe's, it's the Viking village, and that truly what it is. It always will be. It will continue to be. It's always been like that. And the guys that you just kind of brought up, the character guys, that is something that was instilled in us the day we got on campus. And that kind of just starts from the top. It starts from, you know, the faculty and the people that are involved in that school. It's always been like that. And there's people like Tim Robertson, who was, you know, one of my greatest, mentors, really, that really helped me through my high school career. And there was, you know, moments when you're playing as an athlete, especially at that place, because of the tradition and because of the players that are there, there's a lot of pressure there to perform. And Mr. Robertson was able, he just really kind of took me aside a couple times just to see how I was doing and handling all the pressure and everything. It was not always about athletics. It wasn't always about the academics. It was about how the person was developing. And the people that have always been involved with that school have always come away with that sense, is that it's more about the person and how they're developing. And you look at those guys, you look at Desmond, you look at Clark Kellogg, you look at the Golic brothers. There are numbers and numbers of other guys that can be talked about, and they're all character guys. It's just, that's how it is, and that's what St. Joe's is all about.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer, once again joined by Elvis Gerback, played 8 seasons in the NFL. I'm always interested in asking athletes this question because I'm not in your shoes. I wasn't a pro athlete in the sense that I made it to the highest level, had the money, the fame, the status, and you could be very cushy in this world and have everything the world offers. And a lot of people listening to this show will say, well, I wish I had that. That's going to satisfy me. But talk about that evolution of why you're still committed to your faith after having all that I just said.
Well, Ron, let's say it how it is. And this is when I go around and I give talks to various groups, and I bring up this witness of mine. You know, God was not part of my life for a long time, especially when I got into kind of that college and the pro career. That was a fault of my own. And what I did is I turned my back on God a little bit, and I was very, very selfish. I was doing that because I felt I needed to focus in on myself and where I wanted to go and how I wanted to do it, what I wanted to accomplish. It was all about me. Mm-hmm. And it was dark years for me. And I didn't realize that till really after I was done playing, when everything was done. The last day that I played, and I knew I was going to retire, and the only way I can kind of tell you is, like, it's a running faucet, and somebody comes and totally turns it off and rips off the knob, and it's totally gone. It's not there anymore. And what was I left with? Nothing. Myself. I look back at it, and I tell people all the time when I talk to them, I wish that he was a part of it. And I know he was. I mean, I can reflect back on it, and there's moments when I know Christ was with me. But as great as it was, with all the Super Bowls and the Big Ten Championship and the Rose Bowls and all the players that I played with and everything, I'm going to tell you, it is a great rush. It is. I'm not here to say that it's not great. Playing in the NFL is awesome, but how much greater it would have been if I really had him as a part of my life, the focal point of my life. That's where, you know, I really kind of missed out. And, you know, it's something that I really want to stress to people, that when I go out and I talk to, you know, high school groups or college groups or even parishes or, you know, in the workforces, you know, I want to get that message across that, you know, that focal point needs to be with Christ. It has to. Because that's the starting point. If you don't have that, then everything just doesn't fall into place. There's so many times that, you know, I've spoken to men groups and they say, you know what, I wish I had that, you know, ABC order of faith first. A lot of times I think guys have their work first, and that was me for a long time. And when, like I said, when it was all said and done, I was not fulfilled at all. But, you know, I've got my order corrected now, so that's a good thing.
Chatting with Elvis Gerback, NFL quarterback, I want to talk about identity. When you're an elite quarterback and the adulation and the praise, and you're identified by the people out there who follow you, who follow your team as a quarterback, but you have to develop your own identity. Did you struggle with the identity of Elvis Gerback being a creative being and Elvis Gerback being a star athlete?
Yes. That's a great question. That's you could have a whole discussion about that for about 2 hours. But your identity starts to get identified as a professional football player. And for me, that was it for a very, very long time. And now I have an opportunity to really kind of reflect on that career. And what I'm learning even now in my faith is that I would love to put that to bed, put that professional life to bed, but I can't because Christ is not that, he doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. He wants you to bring everything with you. And that's something that I, you know, as my faith continues to grow, I thought I could put that professional life to bed a little bit, but Christ is saying, no, I want everything. I want total surrender. So what I'm learning is that part of my life, I have to find the blessings, which are many as I reflect on those, and I have to bring those along with me and use those to give an example to other people. I have a great opportunity to go out and talk about where I've been and the success that I've had, but also some of the failures, mm-hmm. and to bring everything with that.
When I go out and talk, I always say this, is that we can't put God in this box and say this is the way your relationship with God should be, because we all come from different backgrounds. We have different experiences. And how God is working in our life is a mystery based on all that. And sometimes we're going to fail. That's part of the life experience. There's very few people who could go through life and live it in Mother Teresa fashion, let's put it that way. But through those struggles and through those failures, if it brings you to something greater, then you benefited from that. Is that what you're telling me? You benefited from your past, your failures, your identity, your lack of identity, and now it's taken you to somewhere now where you're studying theology, you're growing in your faith, and you're looking to talk about it. So it's brought you on a path of where you are right now, right here, that has benefited you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you know, that takes some time to reflect on. And for me, it took some time to really kind of look back and look at that professional career and find the failures. I always wanted to look at the successes, but the failures are the ones that really continued me on that journey. And Christ was there the entire time, me not realizing it. Through those failures, I continued to grow. And now that I have an opportunity to reflect and go out and talk about it, it gives hope to other people, mm-hmm. that even through your failures, you can continue to succeed. You have to fail. There's no doubt about it. You have to learn how to fail, and you have to learn how to get up, and you have to learn to think outside the box. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you will never, ever succeed. Christ is going to be there with you. Christ carries the cross with you, always. A lot of times people, what happens is when they do fail, they feel alone. And that's not the truth. Christ is there with you the entire time. He is with you. As baptized individuals that we are, Christ lives within us. He is within us on our journey. It's how do we recognize Christ in our life, and how do we let him use us to be successful? That's the key point.
Yeah, very well said. Men you speak to who struggle with a lot of things, our society, I think, especially in our media-saturated culture, is really geared towards bringing them down to a lower level. And men have great struggles, and we see this repeated in our society. What do you, when you talk to men, and I'm sure you see them in their brokenness, what is your message to encourage them to go forth and become whole?
Look at the cross. That's all I have to say. Look at the cross. Look what he did for you. You can be broken. You could be put to shame. You could be spit on. You could be, however, just look at what Christ did for you. I mean, it says it all. There's, as Catholic men, we have the greatest Redeemer, Savior, Friend. We have it all there. We just have to look and see and to bring him into our lives. I think that's what happens with men, is they try to think that they can do all this on their own. That's impossible. even in the professional life, in an NFL life or whatever professional that life that you're in, the way you are successful is by the people around you in that secular world. Now, in your faith life, you're going to think you're going to do it on your own. It's not going to happen. You have Christ as your brother, and the way that you can look at it in your suffering and in your failures is look at what Christ did and what he, how he suffered and the shame that he had. There's no other thing that we have to look at except for the cross.
Now, Elvis, I know you're going around talking, and is there a way people could get in touch with you or a resource that you do have to perhaps invite you out to speak to a group?
Yeah, you know what? It's great you ask. I have a website, real simple, elvisgerbeck.com. And then within that website, also, I have an email, elvis@elvisgerbeck.com. And, you know, I really try to focus on a couple of groups. I really like to focus on, obviously, junior high, high school, college level, athletic kids. I also talk to men's and women's groups, parishes. And I'm also getting out into the secular world and really into the business world and talking to those groups also. So I'm really kind of getting out there, and I just want to spread the word and really, you know, like we said, it is. The men are getting targeted. I think just really our faith in general is being targeted a little bit. And the more people that can come out and kind of give their life story and words of encouragement, the stronger we are as a community, as a whole, I think it just benefits us all. And that's really the message I want to send out to a lot of people is that as a Catholic Christian man, we do this together.
Well, have Elvis Gerbeck come out and speak, talking about a lot of good things regarding faith and sprinkling it with good football stories as well, I'm sure, after 8 seasons in the NFL. Once again, go to www.elvisgerbeck.com. Elvis, thanks so much. I really do appreciate the time, not only talking about your career, but the hope within you and for sharing that with us. I know you've touched a lot of hearts and souls who will be listening today. And thank you for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
Thanks, Ron. I really appreciate it. God bless.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You could like us on Facebook and follow the show right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Elvis Gerbeck, I'm Ron Meyer, asking you to compete well for the faith in your everyday life.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.